I think we should start.
Yeah, it's 30. Help.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want to talk about that anymore.
Made it even darker. Even more hollowed out to start with. Lord.
Yes, yes. All right.
Hello.
So, hi. It's Kimberly Adams in for Kai Rizdahl on Make Me Smart Daily. I'm here with Molly Wood to help make... I don't even know why I say this.
We can't even say it without laughing.
Like, as if the world can make sense.
That's definitely going to happen. We're going to try. Hey, it's Hollowed Out Shell Thursday. We began our conversation offline, as you may have heard, with the robot apocalypse. So why not delve into all the other forms of apocalypse that seem to be breaking out all around us? And then smile. Well,
yes, the Make Me Smile is coming, we promise. But since we were talking about robots, why don't you go first?
Okay, actually, we have a theme today, and I'm excited. And that theme is the coming train wreck that is the United States presidential election. I'm going to do the Facebook side of things. Piece of news is Facebook's announcement. So Facebook for a long time has been working on this thing called an oversight board. And the idea is that this would be sort of a ombuds council or a Supreme Court for Facebook. It would be an independent board.
Did you say ombuds council?
Yeah, I'm just making up words. Ombuds whatever.
I love it though. I love it.
Be some ombuds peoples. Mm-hmm. A small council for Facebook. Yeah. So the idea is that then this board would review appeals made by Facebook and Instagram users who do not agree with content moderation decisions, such as taking a post down, refusing to take a post down, labeling something as misinformation. Again, in theory, this board would have the power to overrule decisions made by, up to and including, Chief Executive Mark Zuckerberg. I'm reading from CNBC here. So, okay. Facebook announced today that the board will be in place, as they put it, ahead of the U.S. presidential election, a.k.a. like mid-October, even though the election's already happening.
Yes.
But in theory, this will give us a chance to see how much power this board is really going to have, because there is going to be a lot of misinformation, a lot of FUD, a lot of fear, uncertainty, and doubt. A lot of falsehoods related to the election. And so I guess we'll see how this process is going to work, if at all. I frankly am skeptical, but it is Facebook trying its darndest to get ahead of this game and to get ahead of any blame that it's likely to receive for spreading misinformation about the election, which is just, frankly, I think we should acknowledge, a weird place to find ourselves in. Facebook also vowed this week to reject any political ads that claim victory for a candidate before the results are finalized, a scenario that election watchers fear, according to Politico, is likely.
So some of the people to whom I've been speaking about this election say it's not just likely, it's being planned. That
it's like certain. Yeah.
Well, or that the attempts are going to be certain because, you know, the idea that, you know, you can have some early results in that lean one day and they're going to say, oh, we have a victory. And then, you know, fake news is going to try to change the results. And, you know, a little bit of behind the scenes stuff, we as journalists are trying to figure this out, too. Like, what do we do if election night you have all these campaigns claiming victory and we know we're still waiting on mail-in ballots. We know we're still waiting on absentee ballots. And you know, so many people are used to us saying the day after the election, here's who's ahead or here's the winner. And we have to adjust our audience expectations about knowing the results of the election. I mean, over the years, we've been getting these answers more quickly as opposed to it taking longer. And in this case, it's going to take longer. People should probably come to terms with the fact that we will not know the outcome of this election, you know, right away. And it's not just the presidential election. We've got congressional races that could determine the control of the House. Well, I mean, more so the Senate, you know, control in terms of who can control Congress, we're going to have state level races. I mean, lots of, you know, local seats are going to be open for election. So, you know, it's going to be a bumpy ride, to put it mildly, and making it mildly more terrifying, if that's possible, is the statements that we're hearing from the President of the United States. He was asked in a press conference the other day, you know, whether or not he'd accept the outcome of the elections and support a peaceful transfer of power, which seems like a pretty basic thing that would be very easy to say yes to. However, he kind of dodged it. And later you had the White House press secretary coming on and saying, of course, he's going to accept a peaceful transfer of power. And you have Senate Republicans coming out.
She had an if. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry to interject, but if, right? No. She said he would accept the results of a free and fair election, which still leaves the wiggle room for the election was rigged narrative. Sorry.
I mean, but the election is being rigged narrative is already being pushed out there. I mean, I'm signed up for text message alerts from both the Biden campaign and the Trump campaign. And the Trump campaign is sending out these warnings like, hey, you know, the Democrats are trying to send these mail-in ballots to everyone. You know, they're trying to steal the election and all these other things. And, you know, you have to get your mail-in ballot in instead. So all of this is relevant because it really brings up the question of whether or not people will believe the outcome of the election, whether they will have confidence that their vote mattered if they voted, whether they will have confidence in the results. And, you know, what would happen if we have, you know, Biden winning the election and Trump saying, no, it was rigged, I'm not leaving? What would happen? Mm-hmm. And gaming that out and how people are going to respond to it in the media, on social media, these companies, that's all kind of being hashed out behind the scenes in newsrooms and corporations all over the country. And similarly, if Trump wins, you know, will the Biden campaign, you know, launch investigations? Will this stuff end up in the Supreme Court? What will that do for the democracy? So these are all things that are reason for concern. But I should also mention that we're nearing the end of the month. And, you know, it's the time when for many states, we're coming up on the deadline to register to vote. And so if you feel passionately one way or the other about either of these candidates, you should express your constitutional right, get yourself registered, make sure you have a plan to vote either in person or remotely, and get that done so that your voice is heard, because it matters.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we should just emphasize what strange times these are, that these are conversations we're having at all about whether we can trust the outcome of the vote, about whether the president and the administration are deliberately sowing discord about that, and about whether a big social media company has undue influence over whether people accept the outcome of the vote, and has put forth policies just today that I would argue have giant loopholes in them, an oversight board that takes a bunch of time to review appeals, a policy against running election ads, but that doesn't address, you know, information spreading in groups or on news feeds. Never mind the kind of confusing messaging coming from the president himself. These are strange times. This is not normal. Remember, like, way back in the day on Make Me Smart, when we used to do a normal, not normal? I know I don't have to tell you guys, but this is deeply into not normal territory.
But I have to push back on that, because normal is not necessarily the default we want to go for either, because, you know, to be super duper dark about it, one could say that what happened with the Breonna Taylor indictment yesterday is depressingly normal, which is why, like, all of Black America was deeply unsurprised. We're grieving, and then hopefully more of America grieving, but deeply unsurprised. And so normal as it was is not necessarily what we want to be aiming for. Hopefully this experience and the fact that we're having all these conversations right now means that we're all very critically analyzing what was normal and what should be the status quo moving forward.
Speaking of which, actually, next week, Tuesday, we are going to do a deep dive on economist Milton Friedman and the idea that became a norm that the purpose of a corporation is to maximize shareholder profits, which is rightly under examination right now. We're going to talk about how the Friedman Doctrine shapes our understanding of capitalism today, our experience at the hands of capitalism in some cases. So if you have questions before we go to Make Me Smile, let us know what we can make you smart about on that. Send us a voice memo or an email. We love the voice memos, though, to make
they
me
sound
smart
so much better on the radio/podcast.
They do. You get tired of hearing our voices, right?
I get tired of hearing my voice.
Yeah. Send those by Monday, if you could, for that Tuesday show. And yes. Now...
Yay!
Let's try to find a smile, shall we?
In this hollowed-out shell of a Thursday.
Oof! Indeed.
Okay, so some of you may or may not know, Molly and I, we have a space thing. We share many space articles.
Shared love.
There may or may not have been a concerted effort for us to try to have a space podcast at one point.
Never over. Never over. An effort will never end. Hint, hint.
But nudge, nudge. So anyway, people know about my strong feelings about space-related things. And so Janet Wynn sent this great article about how Estee Lauder, the cosmetics company, is going to pay NASA $17,500 per hour to take pictures of its new night serum on the International Space Station. This is from ABC News. But basically, I'm guessing they want a photo, like, video of it floating in weightlessness as a way to, like, talk about, like, your wrinkles going away or something like that. But...
Oh, God. I'm, like, mad, but I also love it. Like, I'm horrified, and also that's genius.
But ABC makes a point. The astronauts won't be using the product or be featured in the pictures. What? Astronauts can't have wrinkle relief? What?
I mean, come on! You know they are. You know behind the scenes they're going to be like, I'm totally going to try it. Like, rubbity, rubbity. That's amazing.
It's sort of like when they, when, you know, explorers got into King Tutankhamun's tomb and they were like digging through all the stuff in their tomb, raiding them before they stole all the artifacts from the country it belonged to. They would open these jars and find like fingerprints where previous tomb thieves had like been testing out all of these like ancient ointments and things like that. So I have this image of like. The NASA astronauts kind of dipping their fingers in the stuff.
Let me just see if it works. That is really remarkable. You can see why privatizing space is a big deal, because that is a lot of money, too. Not for nothing. That's a lot of money.
Well, and it's not the only thing they're going to do. According to this article, NASA says it plans to dedicate up to 5% of astronaut time to commerce or business activities. And up to 175 kilograms will be permitted for commercial purposes. And obviously, the kilograms you take up to space have a dollar value. So anyway... This is, you know, science, I guess, kind of, but funded by night creams.
The pictures, by the way, I did not know this. But apparently, even though they can privatize, I didn't know this. The photos cannot be used in print or television advertising in the cupola, but they can be used on social media.
Well, there you go.
And there you go. That is amazing. I am no longer going to have a need for wrinkle cream, hopefully, due to wearing a mask all the time. Haha, silver linings. But other silver linings...
Wait a minute. Does weightlessness make your wrinkles go away?
I don't... Like, it seems like it should, right? I was sort of thinking the same thing. Yeah. I was like, well, I wonder if it just, like, plumps it all up. But then when you come back...
But then when you reach it back...
Wrinkles,
yeah.
Because, ouch, gravity? Did we just literally stop wanting to be astronauts? Is that how... Is that the pettiness
possibly.
That's happening right now? The incremental bone loss is one thing, but the wrinkles, I don't know. I don't know. So I spent like an hour trying to fact check this story just to make sure that I could actually bring it to us today, because it's so interesting and it's kind of like sciencey. But so evidently Research published in the journal Lancet and the New England Journal of Medicine is suggesting that by wearing masks, I mean, this is blowing my mind. A, I don't need face cream on the round the mouth wrinkles, and I need the eye wrinkles to show that I'm smiling under my mask. But apparently, by wearing masks, we could actually be improving our collective immunity to COVID-19. And here's why. I know it's not just because we don't give it to each other, but we could be making ourselves immune because when you wear a mask, if you are infected with the novel coronavirus, it's at a lower dose. And they're determining, scientists increasingly, that viral load is the key to this sucker. If you have a low viral load, you're either asymptomatic or you don't get that sick. Higher viral loads are what seem to correlate directly to severe illness and death. So wearing a mask reduces your viral load, but could still infect you in a way that would then lead you to, would boost your immunity to the disease.
Oh, so if someone like breathes on you with COVID-19, but it comes at you through the mask, you'd get like the almost like an inoculation dose.
Yeah, almost like an inoculation dose. So mask wearing, yeah, could actually accomplish a version of herd immunity that doesn't kill a whole bunch of people.
Yeah.
So wear a mask.
More people.
Boom.
Yes.
More people. Yes, more people.
Say that three times fast.
All the way.
Mask wearing.
All the way.
I'm sorry.
I know.
I know. There's not much here. It's a very thin, very fragile shell of a Thursday for me.
It is. And it's understandable. And that is why we're going to end it there. That is it for our daily show.
Yes.
Tomorrow, it's Economics on Tap in the YouTube live stream. It's not quite the end of the week for you, or month for you, though.
No, drinks. Not quite. No, not quite. But I will still have a delicious cocktail. It just won't be alcoholic.
Which, frankly,
saving that for October.
You know, shout out to all of our non-drinkers. Exactly. So
yeah,
you can find
shout
us,
out to all the non-drinkers.
I'll bring a mocktail. I'm into this. We're going to have mocktails tomorrow at the Marketplace 8 p.m. YouTube channel, 3:30 p.m. Pacific, 6:30 p.m. Eastern. And Kimberly will be back for the mocktail party.
Indeed. All right. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Rose Conlin. Tony Wagner is our digital producer. Ben Heathcote is our video producer. And Ethan Peretz is our video intern. Erica Phillips writes our newsletters and the Make Me Smart skill on your smart device.
We're just doing whatever we can to say that sucker. Today's program was engineered by Daniel Ramirez. Our theme music was composed by Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez. Make Me Smart, smart speakers. Nope, still can't do it. The senior producer is Bridget Bodner, and the executive director of On Demand is Sitara Nieves. Make Me Smart, smart speaker skill. I did it.
Good job. I sent Erica an article for the newsletter that I really just like could not bring myself to talk about. But I'll share it on Twitter or something. It's great.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.